your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Sarah Health Radio with Dr. Sarah Rosenthal. All comments, views, and opinions expressed are solely those of the host, guest, and callers. In the next hour, Dr. Rosenthal and her guests cover both the common and the not-so-common health issues you want and need to know. Get your pencils ready. Here's your host, Dr. Sarah Rosenthal.
Hello. Welcome to Sarah Health with Dr. Sarah Rosenthal, the program that reminds anyone coping with health problems, we are not alone. The goal of this program is to discuss both common and not-so-common health issues with the experts who really know what they're talking about. I'm Dr. Sarah Rosenthal, your host. I have a long career as a medical journalist and am the author of over 30 consumer health books. I have a PhD in medical ethics and medical sociology and direct the program for bioethics and patients' rights at the University of Kentucky. Today, we are devoting our show to the subject of drug-free approaches to dealing with chronic pain and musculoskeletal injuries. Our guest today is Dr. Michelle Shafro-Cook, a doctor of natural medicine and author of Healing Injuries a Natural Way. And just before we get into the interview with Dr. Cook, some interesting stats to throw your way. The National Institute on Drug Abuse, known as NIDA, is concerned about the growing abuse of prescription drugs, a habit that frequently begins when people start to remedy chronic pain. An estimated 48 million people have used prescription drugs for non-medical reasons in their lifetimes, and this represents approximately 20% of the U.S. population. A common class of drugs used for severe musculoskeletal pain are called opioids, used because of their effective analgesic or pain-relieving properties. Among the compounds that fall within this class, sometimes referred to as narcotics, are morphine, codeine, and related medications. Other examples, though, of opioids can be prescribed to alleviate pain, including OxyContin, Darvin, Vicodin. Many famous names are linked to narcotic drug addiction, which began as a remedy for chronic pain. Jerry Lewis, Elizabeth Taylor, and Rush Limbaugh, to name a few. Today, we want to offer an alternative approach to pain management and think we have started in a good place. Dr. Cook, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Let's start with a real simple question. Why are so many people addicted to pain medication, and how can they get off the roller coaster?
Well, I think part of the reason is because pain medications work quickly, and people are looking to get rid of their pain fast. And so that can become addictive in and of itself. We don't want to experience the pain that we're feeling. In addition to that, though, there's a lot of research now that shows that many of the different pain medications actually do cause brain damage that starts to prevent your body's own ability from lessening pain and starts to cause problems with pain communication signals in your body. And so you need more and more medication just to get the same result.
I see. So can pain be a good thing?
Absolutely. In my opinion, and this may be very hard for people to believe, pain is a good thing. Pain is your body's signal to let you know something is very, very wrong with an area in your body, whether it's a joint or some soft tissues, muscles, or bones. Something is going wrong.
But I guess, you know, I guess the issue with this whole you have a section in your book called Why Pain is a Friend.
Right.
and sort of cover these issues. I guess pain hurts.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's meant to.
And because it hurts, I guess that's the issue. We don't want to experience it, but if pain is a good thing and pain is our friend, how are people supposed to how do you address the issue of people functioning with pain?
Well, absolutely. If you consider what could possibly get your attention faster than pain, I think pain is probably the greatest motivator for making change in your life and is what causes many people to seek out alternatives. But if you think about where most drugs have originated from, they go back to herbal sources in about 70% of the cases. So that's pretty significant. So we know that there are some potent active ingredients in many different herbs that can help with pain, and that can be a good place for people to start. I always advise people, though, if they are already taking pain medications, then they need to consult with their doctor or an herbalist or a qualified natural health practitioner before they start lessening their doses of medication. I'm also a firm believer that food is perhaps the best medicine at all, and that people may be doing damage to their body and worsening pain by eating the wrong foods and not enough of the right foods.
What are foods that would worsen pain?
Well, actually, a good portion of the Western diet, the fast foods, the packaged and prepared foods, a lot of those foods contain hydrogenated or trans fats, which we're hearing so much about. The reason those foods are damaging is that those fats actually increase the level of inflammation in our bodies. And pain and inflammation go hand in hand. If the inflammation is up, typically so is the pain as well. And it creates more work for your body to try to lessen that inflammation. Those prepared foods or fast foods also typically contain a lot of sugar, which is very acid-forming in your body's tissues. And acid can be a real problem when you're trying to heal from injuries or just to lessen pain.
Are there certain types of injuries that certain foods are worse for? Do you go by the type of injury it is, or is it just across the board certain types of food make all types of pain worse?
That's a really good question, and I can't say for certain in terms of studies and how much certain foods exacerbate pain, but I can say from personal experience and from the experience of many different patients that I've seen, those types of foods tend to worsen nerve pain, joint pain, and any soft tissue pain, soft tissue being things like muscles, tendons, fascia, anything that's not bones or joints in the body, the softer tissues, basically, and so therefore the name. But those types of food also contain many preservatives, colors, different food additives, and some of those ingredients are actually neurotoxins, which means they attack the nervous system, the brain, and the nerves, and that can worsen your body's response to pain. It actually can interfere with proper pain signals so that your body can deal with pain properly. So it can worsen any type of pain at all.
So basically, you have in your book, for example, we're going to get to some of the other stuff in a minute, but you have in your book the food is medicine, power of raw foods. Maybe you can go into that a little bit, because this is just so interesting. How I don't think most people would not realize that pain is so linked to what they're eating.
Absolutely. I think it's the most important thing that you can do. And whenever I put people on the diet that I mentioned in Healing Injuries the Natural Way, often people are astounded to see how fast the results are for them. I've had people eliminate the symptoms of fibromyalgia in a month, the same with arthritis and other types of pain disorders as well. And the reason is largely because I incorporate so much raw foods and enzymes into the program. Basically, enzymes are needed for every function in your body. And unfortunately, any type of cooked food is completely devoid of enzymes. So you need to get raw foods that have lots of enzymes still present in them and eat them in their natural raw state. So that's fruits and vegetables. I'm not asking people to go out and eat raw chicken, and I certainly don't advocate that.
Right.
But
especially these days with the avian.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't want to go there. But raw fruits and vegetables particularly, they contain plentiful amounts of enzymes. And when enzymes are not just breaking down the food that they're digesting, they actually go to the sources of inflammation in your body and help to break it down and help to eliminate the waste byproducts that your body makes whenever it's trying to deal with inflammation. And the result can be very quick lessening of inflammation and the resulting lessening of pain.
And what is the typical profile of a patient that you see or a client that you see?
Well, typically, I wouldn't say that it's either men or women more so than another, but typically what I find is that the person who comes to see me has already had their pain or disorder diagnosed. They've gone through maybe a gamut of different medical procedures or drugs that they're just not happy with the results they're getting, and they're looking for a sound alternative, something that's natural, that can help them promote health and at the same time improve their condition. So I think it's typically people who are very frustrated.
I think, you know, one of the things that you see all the time, and I think this really speaks to also the addiction problem, is that a lot of people begin to experience chronic pain in their 50s and 60s. Perfectly healthy people, and then all of a sudden, you know, some pain begins that they can't seem to get an answer to. I know I've seen this with a number of older colleagues, family members, just they wind up living with this you know, chronic back pains, chronic, and you know, we'll talk about some of the causes of that. But I just wanted to, you know, that in that population, they I think that they're flocking to pain medication because they can't function and they can't and so it becomes a quality of life issue. So how would you deal with the fact that they once they go off their pain medication, would they still be able to feel their pain? And because you were saying that the there's problems with the medication that it can sort of affect how people respond to pain.
Absolutely. I usually don't advise people to go off of their medication. I ask them to do that in conjunction with their medical doctor, because some medications can have huge rebound effects where the pain not only goes back to as bad as it started out, but even worse than that. So it's important a lot of times to be followed with a medical doctor who will help patients wean themselves off of the medication over time. But I'll get them to start typically making changes to their diet to help them to understand why they may even be experiencing the pain that they're experiencing. I think too often people run for the medication or the pill because it's fast, instead of trying to use the pain as an opportunity to educate themselves about their body. And their body is crying out to them in the form of pain to be listened to, because there's something wrong. And medications don't go to the source of the problem. They just put a Band-Aid over the pain. The source of the problem hasn't gone away. And unfortunately, oftentimes, people's pain may come back, you know, in a different form somewhere else in their body. So they'll need another medication. I think the average person in the age group that you're talking about is taking between 8 and 11 medications per day, which
is that's right.
Unreal.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly the amount. And I know that a lot of people sort of count them. Well, we'll talk about this in a minute. We're going to take a break now. My guest is Dr. Michelle Shafro-Cook, a doctor of natural medicine. For more information on drug-free ways to cope with pain, we suggest starting with her book, Healing Injuries, The Natural Way, available on Amazon. When we come back, we'll talk more about natural healing approaches to common bone injuries and osteoporosis. All shows are archived on our site, as well as at Voice America Health and Wellness Network at voiceamerica.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Your Health Press is a publishing company that specializes in unique books and hard-to-find health products, topics that mainstream publishers ignore due to rarity, stigma, or controversy. Looking for books on thyroid cancer, early menopause, ostomy, or other rare or embarrassing conditions? You'll find lots of unique topics at yourhealthpress.com. At yourhealthpress.com, all of our books are available exclusively online or via toll-free ordering, so you can purchase in privacy. No cash register syndrome or special special ordering from your bookstore or library. Your Health Press titles are available at all online bookstores, including Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. To browse the Your Health Press catalog of titles, search the list of authors, or purchase, visit YourHealthPress.com. For toll-free ordering, call 1-888-232-4444. Your Health Press, prescribed reading for today's niche market.
Stay mentally, physically, and emotionally fit with Younger Every Day. Hosted by Dr. Bob Payson. Broadcast every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Younger Every Day will offer you alternative solutions for a variety of health issues, all backed by clinical, scientific, and medical data. Dr. Payson and other expert guests will inform and inspire people of all ages to look and feel better. Younger Every Day. Think clear. Feel strong. Grow Younger with Dr. Bob Payson, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell that saves from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote, and then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found a small patch of plastic on my right shoulder.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome back to Sarah Health Radio with Dr. Sarah Rosenthal. If you have a question or comment, dial 866-472-5792. Now back to the show. Here's Dr. Sarah.
Hello, we are back. I'm Dr. Sarah Rosenthal, your host. Welcome back to Sarah Health with Dr. Sarah Rosenthal and our discussion of drug-free ways to cope with musculoskeletal pain with Dr. Michelle Shafro-Cook, a doctor of natural medicine and author of Healing Injuries a Natural Way, How to Mend Bones, Muscles, Tendons, and More. Just to show you what some people are saying about the book, this comes from Consumer Connection, the newsletter of the Consumer and Patient Health Information section of the Medical Library Association. Easy to read, simple to use, and packed with results, a mini encyclopedia that would be a great asset for any consumer health library. So it sounds like people are enjoying this, and it's offering a lot of alternatives. Let's rejoin the conversation, Dr. Cook, and talk a little bit about sort of bone injuries. And you have a chapter in your book on bones bruising and fracturing or breaking, and maybe we can sort of go into the types of injuries there and what some of the remedies would be, sort of the natural, from a natural approach.
Sure. Well, in my book, I don't discuss all the different types of bone injuries because there are so many different ones. From a holistic perspective, what's more important is that bones are given the essential elements that they need to heal. From the common types of injuries, things like bruises or fractures or when bones actually break, either into pieces or into two. Your listeners may not know that fractures are basically hairline cracks that form on the surface of a bone, and it's actually a type of a break. It's just a small break. Bruises are typically caused from an intense hit taken by the bone, and I think we all know what bone breaks are.
Right, okay.
Hopefully not from personal experience.
right. So what would be a natural approach to this from the outset in terms of healing?
Well, it's important to make sure that your bones have everything they need to heal. We don't often think of bones as being alive, but they are completely alive and actually about 50% of water. That's hard to believe when you think of bones. They seem so dry and brittle, but they're not. So the first thing that you need is to make sure you're drinking enough water. Your bones will need that for all of the cells to function properly. Second of all, you need to be eating foods that are high in many of the different minerals that are needed for bones. And obviously most people know calcium, but calcium is not the only mineral that's needed. There's boron, magnesium, manganese, phosphorus, potassium, and silica. All of those minerals are needed for your bones to be able to heal properly, to make healthy bone cells.
So you could take that as a multivitamin, or, I mean, how do you get all of that?
Well, you can take it as a multivitamin to make sure that you're not missing any particular nutrient, but your body actually absorbs minerals much better from foods. Your body may absorb at the most about 10% of the minerals from supplements, but it will absorb a much higher amount, estimates are between 70 and 80% from foods, so that's a lot more. There's a reason why nature insisted that we eat foods in order to be healthy and to stay alive, and it's because it actually helps to create healthy cells, including healthy bone cells. Some of the foods that contain the highest amounts of those particular minerals that are essential for creating healthy bone cells are leafy green vegetables, beet greens, raw nuts and seeds, wild salmon is very important. And basically most fruits and vegetables are going to be critical.
So are there other approaches, such as, I understand that you do, and this may be for, I was going to ask you about acupuncture, but are there complementary therapies to the nutrition program that you would combine?
Absolutely. Obviously, if you've broken a bone, you need to go and make sure that the bone is set properly so that it heals correctly. You don't want your bone healing on some altered form of an angle. You want to make sure that it's set so that the proper alignment is there in the bone. So that's important, and to deal with any urgent scenarios. If a bone breaks into many pieces, there may actually surgery may be required. So that's important to take care of those things first. And after you've done those types of things, a lot of different natural holistic therapies can be helpful. And you mentioned acupuncture. Acupuncture is great for helping to heal bone injuries. Basically, at the site where the needles are inserted, your body secretes natural hormones that help to deal with pain. And so it will lessen
your pain. So endorphins, is that what you mean?
Exactly,
yeah,
endorphins,
okay.
Yep. And so that will lessen your body's sense of pain, and at the same time it increases your body's ability to handle any inflammation that may be caused to surrounding tissues, because as we know, the body is all connected. We've heard that old childhood song of the knee bones connected to the ankle bone and so on, and it really does work like that. There are ramifications that are caused in the soft tissues if the bone has broken and has cause damage to the soft tissue surrounding the area. So the acupuncture helps with that too. It helps with the overall healing. And there are literally hundreds of different studies now that are proving what the Chinese have known for at least 5,000 years, and there's some evidence that they may have known about acupuncture for up to 10,000 years. So scientists are just, in the last 20, 30 years, starting to figure out what the ancient Chinese have known for so long.
Well, I know that certainly when it comes to pain addiction, that literature is taken very seriously. The alternative literature now, and the acupuncture studies are definitely showing that there is a viable alternative. That's probably one of the sort of healing arts that I think is a little bit more accepted in sort of the general, allopathic medicine community. What about things like, there's a lot of controversy over homeopathy. How would you use homeopathy? And maybe you can just describe that a little bit if in fact it is used at all for healing.
Absolutely. You know, it always surprises me that there is any controversy over homeopathy. Homeopathy also, there is a vast body of evidence that is showing homeopathy's effectiveness. And quite honestly, the whole concept of vaccinations is based on a very similar premise to homeopathy, and yet homeopathy does not have the harmful negative side effects that can be linked to vaccinations. So it's typically, I think, just ignorance. People just don't know that there is a lot of scientific evidence showing that homeopathy can be incredibly effective for helping any type of healing, but particularly from injuries. Arnica, for example, is one of the most popular homeopathic remedies, and I'm a firm believer in using it at the first sign of an injury or when you're experiencing any type of pain. Arnica is good for any type of trauma, and whether it's broken bones or bruised bones, it doesn't really matter. It works on various levels of healing. And it's not just working on the symptoms to eliminate the pain, but it's also going to, beneath that to work on the actual healing. So homeopathy is fantastic, and I know personally I've seen upwards of over 100 different studies showing that it works. There's actually another remedy that I really like called Traumil, and it's a blend that includes arnica, and it's homeopathic as well, and it's wonderful for any type of trauma, like the name would suggest, and that includes injuries.
So when we're talking about the whole bone story and fractures, we can't, a huge part of the population that's prone to this are going to be postmenopausal women because of osteoporosis. Could you speak to that a little bit before the break, and then maybe we can pick up with that when we come back?
Sure. Actually, osteoporosis, unfortunately, is a growing concern. I think currently there are about 27 million elderly North Americans suffering from osteoporosis. So this is serious, and obviously something is going very wrong. I think a lot of people just assume that the porous bones that are linked with osteoporosis, and one of the main signs of osteoporosis, is just a calcium deficiency disease, and that's not true, actually. Many of those minerals that I just mentioned that are important for healing bones are essential for making sure your bones are healthy. And if it was just a calcium disease, I think that we would, in North America, we would see that we'd have the lowest incidence, because in North America, we eat and drink more dairy products probably than any other countries in the world, or at least are among the top.
You have a lot to say about dairy products, which I think would surprise a lot of people. Maybe you can go into that a little bit.
Absolutely. Most of the studies that show that dairy products are healthy for you are funded by the Dairy Council, and I've seen enough research that shows that the more dairy products people eat, the more they are likely to suffer from osteoporosis. If you think of women in Asian countries, for example, that who eat a traditional diet that may contain no dairy or very little dairy, they have an incredibly low incidence of osteoporosis. It's almost non-existence in these countries, as long as they continue to eat a traditional diet. When they start to eat more of a Western diet, though, the way North Americans eat, then osteoporosis starts to show up in the same kind of numbers that we're seeing in North Americans.
We're gonna have to take another break now. My guest is Dr. Michelle Shafro-Cook, a doctor of natural medicine. For more information on drug-free ways to cope with pain, we suggest starting with her book, Healing Injuries the Natural Way, available on Amazon. When we come back, we'll talk more about osteoporosis as well as natural healing approaches to soft tissue injuries. I'm Dr. Sarah Rosenthal, your host. For further information, visit me online at sarahhealth.com. All shows are archived on our site, as well as at Voice America Health and Wellness Network at voiceamerica.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Your life, your health, your network. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
Your Health Press is a publishing company that specializes in unique books and hard-to-find health products, topics that mainstream publishers ignore due to rarity, stigma, or controversy. Looking for books on thyroid cancer, early menopause, ostomy, or other rare or embarrassing conditions? You'll find lots of unique topics at yourhealthpress.com. At yourhealthpress.com, all of our books are available exclusively online or via toll-free ordering, so you can purchase in privacy. No cash register syndrome or special ordering from your bookstore or library. Your Health Press titles are available at all online bookstores, including Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. To browse the Your Health Press catalog of titles, search the list of authors, or purchase, visit YourHealthPress.com. For toll-free ordering, call 1-888-232-4444. Your Health Press, prescribed reading for today's niche market.
Women, do you feel that you're too old to be active, too old to be beautiful, too old to have fun, or too old to be fabulous? Well, if that's what you think, then there's good news for you. You're wrong. Tune in to Voice America every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Aging Outside the Box. Fabulous Women Over 50 with Shirley Mitchell. Aging Outside the Box is a fabulous, fun program that gives you every reason to feel greater than you ever have. Host Shirley Mitchell and O.E. Cruiser Small will cover phenomenal topics such as women's issues, health, diet, exercise, nutrition, faith, travel, and many other concerns for women of all ages. Feel young, feel smart, and feel fabulous by tuning in to Aging Outside the Box. Fabulous Women Over 50 with Shirley Mitchell every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on VoiceAmerica.com.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome back to Sarah Health Radio with Dr. Sarah Rosenthal. If you have a question or comment, dial 866-472-5792. Now back to the show. Here's Dr. Sarah.
Hello, we are back. I'm Dr. Sarah Rosenthal, your host. Welcome back to Sarah Health with Dr. Sarah Rosenthal. Excuse me. And our discussion of drug-free ways to cope with musculoskeletal pain with Dr. Michelle Shafro Cook, a doctor of natural medicine and author of Healing Injuries, the Natural Way, How to Mend Bones, Muscles, Tendons, and More. Just before we go back to our discussion, I wanted to just read another review of the book. This comes from Complete Health Magazine, and they say that it is a toolbox of self-help techniques to assist the injured in avoiding drug therapy for pain. This book is a must-have. Shafro Cook has left no stone unturned with this marvelous book. Anyone that owns a body should have a copy on the shelf. And that comes from www.allnaturalhealth.us. So clearly this book is actually becoming a favorite in a lot of the natural health communities or alternative communities. What I wanted to return to was the discussion of osteoporosis, Dr. Cook was talking. You were talking a lot about how diet affects bone loss.
Absolutely, and dairy products can actually increase the amount of bone loss. And the way it does that is because dairy products, along with other types of high protein foods like meats, increase the level of acidity in your blood. And your body has a natural mechanism that's built in to deal with acidity in the blood, because acidity in the blood can be so damaging to any of the organs or glands. So what that mechanism is that it draws calcium, which is very alkaline, from the place in your body that has the greatest amount of calcium stores, and that's your bones. And it will take the calcium directly out of your bones and dump it into your blood to combat the level of acidity caused by either dairy products, meats, sugar, or any other acidic type of food. So it's not just a matter of whether or not dairy products have high amounts of calcium. People need to understand this tiny bit of biochemistry about their body in order for them to prevent diseases like osteoporosis, or just to have healthy bone structure at all.
Now, with women who are going through osteoporosis, particularly postmenopausal women, how do some of your strategies combine with some of the new bone building drugs that are available? I think some women can take them and some women cannot take them. It just depends on. Some women who can't tolerate them, apparently, and there are some women that also have problems with calcium supplements. So do you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, I would never claim to be an expert on the drug side of things. I leave that to the medical doctors. That's their area of expertise. But I do encourage people to eat a high calcium diet in forms that the calcium is very usable. So not dairy products, in my opinion, if they're not a good source of calcium that is usable. But foods like leafy greens, kelp, carob, and, you know, carrot juice is a good example. Carrot juice contains, one glass of carrot juice contains more usable calcium than a comparable size glass of milk.
What about carrots then?
Carrots as well.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So it's not just the juice. You can add carrots as well. Okay.
It's just that in the juice, you know, you put about between 4 and 6 carrots in to make a glass of juice, so it's very concentrated. So you're getting so much calcium. Almonds, raw almonds are one of the best sources of calcium, as is tofu, and oatmeal is a very good source as well. Broccoli, excellent source. So there are many good sources of calcium from foods, and whether a person's on medication to prevent bone loss or not, they can be making changes to their diet to eat more of these foods that will help to sustain their bone mass.
In terms of, I wanted to take some time also to talk about the soft tissue injuries.
Sure.
Maybe we can move into that subject. Do you want to maybe give an overview first to our listeners on what do we mean when we say soft tissue injury?
Absolutely. Soft tissues basically are anything that's not bone or joints in your body. So that includes things like muscles, tendons, which help to hold the joints in place properly. Fascia, which is like a network, almost like a spider web type network that underlies a lot of the other tissues like the muscles in your body and is essential for good health. You can have many different types of soft tissue injuries because there are so many different types of soft tissues, and that can be anything from bruised muscles or torn muscles, pulled ligaments and torn tendons. So there's many different kinds, and from my perspective, though, it's not so important to know exactly the name of a disease or what you've been diagnosed with as it is to make sure that your body has everything it needs to build healthy soft tissue or to break down any damaged areas in your soft tissue.
So what would be so again, I think I'm getting the picture that all of your the natural approach is always there's always a dietary component, and then there is complementary therapies around that. Is that correct?
Absolutely. When you think of the body as a whole, which is what holistic medicine means, you have to be considering something as important as what you do at least 3 times a day and probably more, and that is your eating habits. So what you, what foods you take in is going to be the most important factor for your healing or for lessening the pain that you're experiencing. But there are many different soft tissue treatments that can be helpful as well that come from the alternative side of things, and we talked a bit about acupuncture, and this is an area where acupuncture really shines, and there's so much research to support the healing of many different types of soft tissue damage and injuries.
You know, with acupuncture, I bet you there are still people that don't know exactly what's involved.
Sure.
Maybe you can go through the process a little bit.
Well, I think people have this image of these huge needles the size of vaccine needles being put in their body, and it's not like that at all. The needles that are used in acupuncture, they're placed in specific points in the body that are known to be helpful for decreasing pain or to help healing. These needles are smaller than the head of a pin. They're a fraction of the size of a pin, about just a little thicker than the average strand of hair. So most people don't even feel much when the needles are placed into different points along the body.
And I've had it done, and yeah, I can vouch for that. You don't even know they're there.
Absolutely. And what Chinese medicine practitioners are trying to do is to restore the proper flow of energy in the body. There's research now that shows that energy does flow in lines through the body in the same way that the Chinese documented thousands of years ago. I can think of one study in particular where French scientists...
And you're talking about the chi.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. French scientists injected people with radioactive dye, and some people they injected in real acupuncture points, and other people they did fake points. And just to follow the flow of that would occur in the body, and they found with the fake points, the radioactive dye just diffused. It did nothing, really. But when they actually injected it into real acupuncture points in the body, the radioactive dye followed the exact pathways that were documented by the Chinese thousands of years ago. So science, again, is starting to catch up with what the Chinese knew years ago.
So the with soft tissue injuries, then acupuncture is definitely a preferred route in treating some of the pain. What about things like you also talk about just stretching, breathing, healing, you know, sort of the breathing and healing together, those kinds of approaches.
Absolutely. Every single cell in your body requires adequate oxygen supply in order to function properly. And so deep breathing exercises are very important, as are stretching exercises. Your body is made to move, and unfortunately we become a very sedentary lot. And as a result, these things in our body start to break down, the soft tissues, the muscles. It really is a case of use it or lose it with muscles, for example. And so doing stretching exercises like yoga or Tai Chi, Qigong, any type of gentle stretching exercise can be very helpful for healing any type of soft tissue injury. But it's important to make sure that you've got your doctors okay to do that, because you don't want to aggravate the injury, for example, torn ligaments. You don't want to jump right into a stretching routine immediately after tearing ligaments. You want to let some of those areas heal before you jump into it.
I mean, there are, I do hear complaints also that some people are of the belief that when they go for physical therapy, they're not handled properly, and they think that some of their muscular pain actually gets worse with the wrong physical therapist, and which I would imagine is sort of stretching the wrong way or stretching too much. Do you have any knowledge about that?
I have firsthand knowledge about that. As somebody, I wrote this book because I had experienced such severe injuries from a very bad car accident that I was in, and I just couldn't find the answers I needed. And in fact, I was one of those people who was severely worsened by physiotherapy. Mm-hmm. I'd had a spinal injury that should not have had any type of physiotherapy at the time, but I did not know this. So I put together this book in order to try to help myself initially, but to put together the kind of book I would have wanted at the time when I first had these injuries. And but you're absolutely right. Physiotherapy is good in some circumstances and not in others, and it really depends on the injury.
It's very misleading then, because I think that what happens is, I mean, I've seen this. We're gonna take a break again. My guest is Dr. Michelle Shoffro-Cook, a doctor of natural medicine. For more information on drug-free ways to cope with pain, we suggest starting with her book, Healing Injuries the Natural Way, available on Amazon. When we come back, we'll talk more about soft tissue injuries, physical therapy, as we're picking up, and also natural approaches to joint damage. I'm Dr. Sarah Rosenthal, your host. For further information, visit me online at sarahhealth.com. All shows are archived on our site, as well as at Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Steps to a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Your Health Press is a publishing company that specializes in unique books and hard-to-find health products, topics that mainstream publishers ignore due to rarity, stigma, or controversy. Looking for books on thyroid cancer, early menopause, ostomy, or other rare or embarrassing conditions? You'll find lots of unique topics at yourhealthpress.com. At yourhealthpress.com, all of our books are available exclusively online or via toll-free ordering, so you can purchase in privacy. No cash register syndrome or special ordering from your bookstore or library. Your Health Press titles are available at all online bookstores, including Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. To browse the Your Health Press catalog of titles, search the list of authors, or purchase, visit yourhealthpress.com. For toll-free ordering, call 1-888-232-4444. Your Health Press, prescribed reading for today's niche market.
Growing Up in America explores the challenges, risks, benefits, and differences this generation of children face each day. Hosted by veteran pediatric emergency physician and father of four, Dr. Charles Nzeka, this show is for parents, teens, and children. It crosses each generation. By exploring the unique aspects of matriculation within this current generation, we hope to find answers and ways of optimizing this experience for today's generation. Growing Up in America with Dr. Charles Nzeka broadcasts each Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Are you tired of being tired? Are you sick of sitting around while life passes you by? You can get back on track by tuning in to Voice America Health and Wellness every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time. For Attracting Abundance, the energy of success with Carol Look. Attracting Abundance is the program that empowers you to finally break through your limiting beliefs and blocks and shows you how to succeed in all areas of your life, from improved financial abundance, health and weight problems, as well as your relationships. Don't wait another week to be joyful. Listen to Attracting Abundance, the energy of success with Carol Look, this Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome back to Sarah Health Radio with Dr. Sarah Rosenthal. If you have a question or comment, dial 866-472-5792. Now back to the show. Here's Dr. Sarah.
Hello, we are back. I'm Dr. Sarah Rosenthal, your host. Welcome back to Sarah Health with Dr. Sarah Rosenthal and our discussion of drug-free ways to cope with pain with Dr. Michelle Shafro Cook, a doctor of natural medicine and author of Healing Injuries, The Natural Way, How to Mend Bones, Muscles, Tendons, and More. Health and Vitality magazine says of the book, quote, a mini encyclopedia of user-friendly natural healing therapies. I recommend this book to trainers, health practitioners, and the athlete and everyone, which I think is interesting, where we picked up before we went to the break, or where we left off before we went to the break, was all about the issue with physical therapy for soft tissue injuries and how sometimes it's not the best thing and people can actually come out worse. And our guest has firsthand experience with that. So if you can, we can sort of pick up on that.
Sure. I would often experience blackouts after I would have physiotherapy done. And at the time it was because I'd had a spinal cord injury that had not been properly diagnosed. And so I was actually doing more damage to my body by going to a physiotherapist. And I'm not knocking all physiotherapists. For certain types of health problems, it can be beneficial. But for many, it's not. And I think a lot of people just assume it's an alternative therapy, and it's actually more of a traditional therapy. It's not really so alternative, in my opinion. And I think people need to start considering that even if your doctor doesn't believe the results that you're getting from your physiotherapist, it's important to take charge of your own health. Just your body knows what's right for you, and I think it's important for people to start listening to that inner voice instead of just giving all of their...
Yeah, because I think the common, I hear from people who go through this, the common thing is that they have pain, and maybe we'll go into some of the joint issues as well, but they're getting physiotherapy, and then they begin to feel worse. They tell their doctors they're feeling worse, and the doctors don't believe them. And that sort of creates this whole sort of merry-go-round, because a lot of these, is it not true that a lot of the soft tissue injuries are really hard to prove?
Oh, definitely. We don't have a lot of good diagnostic procedures in medicine to show that there is damage. So a lot of times people are not believed by their doctor that they're experiencing real pain. And yet they are, and it's not all in their head. And I think people need to be listened to more, and doctors need to start listening to the fact that their diagnostic equipment can only do so much, and it may not showcase everything, and soft tissue injuries are a prime example.
One of the things I wanted to go into as well is your knowledge of herbs, sort of herbal medicine for healing of all kinds, and then thought we could sort of also segue into joint damage as well. So maybe you can speak to those issues.
Sure. I am a huge advocate of herbs to help with pain disorders of many different kinds. Like I mentioned before, over 70% of all drugs had their roots initially in herbal medicine. So it's not surprising when there's, you know, another new study that comes out that shows this herb is actually effective. There's a huge body of evidence now that shows herbs like ginger, for example, is very effective against pain. It actually reduces what's called prostaglandin levels in the body, and prostaglandins are linked with pain. And
that's the culprit in for a lot of women with menstrual cramps as well.
Absolutely. Ginger is really effective for that. You need to take a fairly high dose of it. But in one study by Indian researchers, every single person in the study had improvements from the pain they were suffering from when they were given ginger. So this is, no drug can really even claim that kind of statistic. So that's huge. Another herb that I just love is turmeric, which if you're familiar with any type of Indian curries,
yeah,
it's the yellow coloring and it gives the curry a lot of flavor. But it's I think, going to be one of the super herbs of the future because it is so powerful. And it's actually, in studies, showing itself to be more effective than drugs like the COX-1 and COX-2 inhibitor drugs, like Vioxx and Celebrex fall into those categories. Turmeric.
Go ahead, sorry.
That's okay. Turmeric contains a substance called curcumin, and it works in the same way as these COX-1 and 2 inhibitor drugs. And in some studies, it's actually been more effective at eliminating inflammation than those drugs or steroid medications. So it's hugely important, and it's good for all kinds of other things too. It has no side effects that are harmful, but lots of side effects that are beneficial.
You know, certainly one of the things that comes to mind when you talk about you know, drugs like Vioxx and Celebrex is also the fact that we need to have some alternatives in light of what has been going on. A lot of people feel they can't even trust the pain medication they're on, and those are drugs that were very common for joint damage. Is that not correct?
Absolutely, they're frequently used for arthritis, but there are so many side effects now linked with those drugs that I'm not convinced that that they're worth what people think they're worth, and unless just considering from a financial perspective.
So a little Indian curry might do the same.
Well, the ideal way to get turmeric is to get a standardized extract that has a high amount of the active ingredient curcumin. That's the substance that has the anti-pain and anti-inflammatory effects. Usually in about 1,500 milligram doses of the standardized extract. That is going to be incredibly effective against most types of pain, whether soft tissue or joint pain, and in particularly for arthritis pain.
Now, so your preferred route for joint pain, bursitis, arthritis, those kinds of things, would be an herbal approach then?
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
So interesting how the different approaches work for different things.
Absolutely. And the herbs, there's a growing body of evidence for many different herbs, like ginger and turmeric, cayenne pepper. Those are really important herbs for use with arthritis. But as I mentioned before, enzymes are also really important. And I do recommend people also supplement with enzymes. So get more enzymes in your food by eating more raw foods, but also supplement on an empty stomach, taking a spectrum of different enzymes.
And one of the things that I have heard about enzymes from the allopathic medical community and pharmacists is that unless they have enteric coating, your stomach actually will digest the enzyme before it gets to where it needs to be.
That is true of some enzymes, but not of others. If you consider that the enzymes in your food actually start to work and have to go through the whole digestive tract, and they still work. And the enzymes that are in the supplements are the same enzymes that are found in foods, just in typically in higher doses.
So it just depends on what the enzyme is. So which enzymes do you not have to worry about?
Well, because enzymes start to break down in your mouth, if you're taking something that breaks down quickly, often it starts to be absorbed into your bloodstream even before it gets to your stomach. And other ones will survive the stomach acid just fine. The main enzyme that people should be considering when it comes to pain is protease. That's the main one, and usually it can survive the stomach acid. It's an enzyme that is used to digest protein. Of course, inflammation in the body is a protein-based substance. So if you take protease enzymes on an empty stomach, it will go directly through your digestive tract, be absorbed into your bloodstream, and start working on the inflammation. So I usually recommend to my patients that they take enzymes, usually pretty high doses of enzymes, first thing in the morning when they wake up with a big glass of water, and before they go to bed, the same thing. And typically, people will find results with that very quickly, usually in less than a week. They'll start to see some improvement.
And this is for improvement, again, for joint pain that we're talking.
Joint pain or soft tissue
or
pain.
So all types of pain.
Yeah, maybe less for the bone pain or bone injuries, but it still will be helpful even in those cases, but more so for joint and soft tissue.
Now, before I can sort of see that we may run out of time when you're mid sentence, but you know we never actually talked about your training, and I know that it's a very interesting process for those who are not familiar with the whole natural medicine training world.
Sure, there's an examining board of natural medicine practitioners that governs the whole field of doctors of natural medicine, and doctors of natural medicine come from many different backgrounds. They can be surgeons, oncologists, acupuncturists, they come from many different types of backgrounds. But essentially, they all have to meet the same set of criteria, which is have a bachelor's degree or equivalent and have over 4,400 hours of training in various natural medicine sciences, including homeopathy, botanical medicine like herbalism and nutrition and Asian medicine. So a very broad spectrum. And then they have to pass an exam to prove that their knowledge. So unlike naturopaths that train under a handful of different schools, the doctors of natural medicine have to meet a very rigorous set of criteria that are unique.
So it's definitely a different thing. There's our cue. I want to thank my guest today, Dr. Michelle Shafro-Cook, a doctor of natural medicine, and we just learned how she became that, and author of Healing Injuries, A Natural Way, available on Amazon. You can find her online at energyeffect.com. Next week, Ohio-based Dr. Elena Christofides will be back again, this time to discuss premature menopause. Also joining us will be Karen Baynard, author of Menopause Before 40, who will share her experiences with premature ovarian failure. You can visit me online at sarahhealth.com. And remember, you are not alone.
Thank you for listening to Sara Health Radio. To contact Dr. Rosenthal or one of her guests for more information, visit sarahhealth.com. Tune in next Thursday for another hour of Sara Health Radio with Dr. Sara Rosenthal.